الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
بسم الله إن الحمد لله نحمده استعينه استغفره ونعوذ بالله من شر أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له وما يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله ما بعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. Verily all the praise is to Allah alone, and we praise Him and we thank Him and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our deeds. I bear witness in open testimony that there is none worthy to worship except Allah alone, and that He has no partners. And I bear witness in open testimony that Muhammad is His last and His final messenger. And as to what follows, O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah. Have taqwa for Allah and speak a word of truth. Kulu kalan sadida. And alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us be together like this today to join together in the worship of Him as He prescribed for us in the Quran in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. He tells us in the Quran, O you who believe, when you hear the call and you heard the call to the prayer, leave off all the worldly matters and then come and listen to what does the khatib, the speaker, have to say. This is something that is very clear exactly in our worship that we have to do every week. Every Jummah we come and we listen and hope that the words that we hear from the khatib will change how we act and behave so that we become better. So that the person who walked in the door is not the same person going out the door. But more than anything else today, I wanted to talk about the subject of speaking the truth. Because when I came into Islam, I realized an amazing thing. I had been lied to. Nothing can possibly match the disappointment you have when you've been lied to and you realize, especially when you believed a person and then you realize they lied to you. I want you to think about this just for 1 minute. The Prophet ﷺ, he told us that a person who lies is not a believer. A kadib, a liar, is not a believer. So this is something very important for us. Then I would also like to call your attention to something and want you to think about it. Those of you who are old enough to have children, and when you talk to your children and you hope you educate them, and they come to you and they tell you, oh, this is the truth, this is the truth. But then when you find out they lied, how do you feel? Actually, it's very difficult for us to accept that this child looked me straight in the eye and lied to me. And how do you feel? Imagine too that some of the people in this Kafir society, their wives lie to the husbands, and the husbands lie to the wives. They lie. How do you think they feel when they find out they've been lied to about some very important matters? Do you realize the psychiatrists tell us that in order to lie to anyone, you have to tell a lie before that to yourself and say it's okay to tell a lie? It may not seem like a really big thing to you because you grew up as a Muslim and you maybe have not really been as exposed to lies as other people. But a lot of people go through their existence here on this earth with nothing but lies. From the time they wake up in the morning to the time they go to bed. From the time they're born until the time they die. It's all lies, lies, and more lies. I remember thinking in those early days when I came to Islam, I wanted to write a book. Alhamdulillah, I wrote many of them, but I published them all on the internet so you can get access to them without having to buy them. But I did write the beginning of one book and I never finished it, but the title is as far as I got title page. Because everybody, when they come to Islam, one of the things that new Muslims want to do is write something called the truth. But I was going to write mine called the lies. Then I came to read some books about lies that amazed me. The education system, for lack of a better word, here in the United States of America. There are 12 major publishers that supply the history books to the United States public schools. Those publishers were taken to task some years ago by Dr. Lowell, who who happens to be a history professor and fellow at one of the universities. He wrote a book, The Lies My Teacher Told Me. I hope you get a copy of this book and see the kind of lies that are being passed off for history in this country. I've used this book for dawah, believe it or not, because I said, listen, if they lied about this, what else did they lie to you about? Because when I brought the Quran, after thinking about the lies, you bring the Quran and say, listen, find a lie in this book. Go ahead. And you can't. It's one of the challenges Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes in the Quran. Have they not considered if it were from other than Allah, it would contain within it many contradictions? There's your challenge, find one. And in 1400 years, never a contradiction has come from this book. So we know right away, immediately, that this is something that we should show them in a very positive light. Don't be afraid, don't be shy. Don't hesitate to produce the Quran and to show the Quran. I realize it's difficult because of the translations. But even from the translations, they can get the idea. They can get the essence. If Allah wants to guide them, He can guide them. We offer free Qurans to anybody who goes to our websites. And we have download Qurans that they can get. They can just go on there and click it and it will download one to their computer with translation, with transliteration to pronounce words, everything. It's all free. There's no reason for you not to do the dawah. No reason. Today I just want to talk about the lies. Because if you know that somebody lies to you, the first time it really hurts bad. I want to warn all of our youth, our youngsters that are here today listening to what I'm saying to you, and those of you who are new to Islam, I want to warn you, don't lie. It's the worst, worst thing you can possibly do. If you say, I don't know what to say, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man kana yu'minu billah wa yawmul akhir, yaqulu khayr aw yasmut. Let the one who believes in Allah and the last day either say good or be silent. So if you don't know what else to say, be quiet. But don't lie. And then the worst of all of lies, and can you imagine something's worse than lying, is the lying against Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, whoever lies on me, then let him take his seat in the hellfire. May Allah save us from that. But what's worse than lying on Rasul? Lying on Allah. When people say, oh, Allah said this and He didn't say that. When they say something is haram and it's not haram. They say something is halal and it's not halal. They're lying on Allah. So lying against Allah, His Messenger, the Quran, the Deen of Islam, all of these things will buy the ticket in the hellfire. This is something to be very, very serious about. By the way, the FBI and the CIA and the different organizations, when they pick up Muslims, because it's real easy for them to get the whole story out of them quickly, because most Muslims have been raised to tell the truth. So they just pick them up, they go to the usually to the lady's house while her husband is away, and they just start talking to her, and she invites them in, fix tea, tell everything, and then she wonders why her husband doesn't come home. Wonder why? They went to the job and picked him up right after everything she said. He goes to the masjid, he hangs out with these kind of guys. Oh, okay, boom. She didn't hear the second part of the hadith. Oh, yes, moot. Or she could have been silent. You have the right in this country to be silent. And this is something that we should think about a lot. But for other reasons, not just to avoid entrapment, but to avoid putting yourself in a difficult position. I want to give you some examples before I end. One example is when you visit some people's house and you eat food with them. And it's okay, but it's a little off. But you say, oh, this is so good. I really like it. They say, are you sure? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you figure, I'm never coming back here anyway, so, you know, I'll just say, you know, it's so good, it's so delicious. Because if you do this, because watch what Allah can do. Allah can put it in your wife, right? She hears you say how good the food was. So she'll ask the sister, by the way, what's the recipe for that? I'm going to make it for him tomorrow night. And there you are. You did it to yourself. Yep. So you don't need to do that. You either say good or be quiet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wasn't given to this way that we have here in the West, which is we talk too much. Number one, we talk way too much. I'm sorry to say that because I'm from here. But we do. We talk when we should be quiet. And then that makes subjects come up. You start to talk about a person. And you don't really know much about the person, but you start making up something. Oh, he's a nice guy. Oh, yeah, he's a great guy. How well do you know him? Oh, yeah, he's okay. He's a good guy. Yeah, yeah, sure. And it turns out he cheats some people in the community, and you're the one who gave him the good recommendation. Then what will you do? So it's very important for us not to lie a little bit, not to lie a lot, not to do the big or the small, any of it. It's all bad. All of the lying is not good for us. So I'm asking Allah to make us of the people that speak the haq, those who say the truth, even when it's against ourselves or our families, because this is what Allah advised us in the Quran. وَقُولُوا كَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. فَإِنَّ أَصْدَقَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرُ الْهَدْيِ هَدْيُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَشَرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا وَكُلُّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٌ وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٌ وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ مَا بَعْدُ. For sure, the best speech is in the Book of Allah. This is the ultimate haq. The Quran is called the haq. It's the absolute truth. And for sure, the best following is to follow the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There can be no doubt that he is the last and the final messenger to all of the mankind. And the worst of all things are the innovations, the bid'ah, which have been put into Islam by those who innovate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the complete deen to us 1400 years ago, and it doesn't need anybody to add to or take away from that. Allah said, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. He said, I have perfected your religion for you. So we should take note of that, and when people come up with something new, we should reject it. We don't need it. In fact, do you realize what a big insult it is for somebody to invent something in Islam? Do you realize what an insult that is? That's like telling Allah you don't like the religion He gave you, so you'd like to make a new one. And in fact, that's where all these religions came from. The first person on earth was Adam. And which religion did Adam have, if it wasn't Islam? But people innovated and they began to worship other than Allah. An invention in Islam is worshiping other than Allah. Any invention in Islam and worship is worshiping other than Allah. And if you doubt what I just said, I want to remind you that the Quran itself says this about the people before us. It's in chapter 9, if you go by the numbers, but for the Arab speakers, it's Surah Al-Tawbah. Al-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 31, it says that the Jews and the Christians took their rabbis and monks as partners with Allah, made shirk with them. And Adi bin Hatim said, he used to be a Christian, and he was telling the Prophet ﷺ, he said, they don't do that. They don't worship their monks. They don't worship their rabbis. And Rasul ﷺ said, they certainly do. He said, don't they accept the halal and haram that Allah made, but then they take from their monks and their rabbis as haram and halal? In other words, these priests and these rabbis are changing what's halal, changing what's haram. He said, yeah, they do that, yeah. He said, in that way they worship them. So this is a very serious subject. And it's not something lightweight, because if you want to look and see what's the damage to the Muslims today, and many of the countries where we go and we look and see the history, we find that that is one of the biggest problems they have, is the innovations that they put into the religion. And then they wonder, why is Allah punishing us? Why indeed? Why indeed? I'm going to end just by telling you something that I really am happy to be with all of you. It makes me very happy to be a Muslim. And it makes me happier to be with other Muslims. Because they have something in Arabic. It's so beautiful. And it's the saying that, Hubuk filah, that I love you for the sake of Allah. And when the other person responds back, he said, and I love you for the sake of the one you love me for. Because all of us here, we can all love Allah and it doesn't take anything away. We don't have to be jealous about that. And Allah can love us. And then we can love each other because we all love the same God. So this is a good chance for me to be with all of you. And a good chance for us to be together. And I hope that you'll encourage each other to be with us tonight when we have a very important program right here in your masjid. They'll give you details about it. But I'm looking so forward to it. And to be with you this day. And then tomorrow I have to go back to Washington. But I hope for a chance to be with you all again. I would like to close with a dua. This is a dua which is very famous to you and probably you heard all your life. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasan wa fil akhirati hasan wa qina adhaban nar. Ameen. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmah innaka antal wahhab. Ameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Ameen. Iqama salat.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله